I don't know about you, but I always look forward to come to church.
Amen.
Whether it's Sunday, whether it's Monday, whether it's Wednesday. Anytime the doors are open, I'm looking forward to come to be here. So it's a blessing. And Pastor Cillian, I would rather be sitting there and hearing you speak. So I was out of town and I haven't had a chance to listen to your message, but I will be listening to, because I know it's always a blessing when you come and speak. So I'm thankful for Pastor's trust to have me speak tonight. We are blessed with a pastor like Pastor Mike Ray. I know that because he's been a great blessing in my life, in my family's life, in my children's life. So I just want to praise the Lord. And I ask you, if you haven't, keep him on your prayers. So we need to pray for him. We need to keep him constantly in prayer. Amen. Are we able to put that picture up there? Paul, people keep asking me, what did my son said? If he said, so he did say yes. So that was a blessing. We spent few days in Texas. Everything was great, and I finally took him off my insurance. So thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. So that was a blessing. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Alex. I'm never here in the English service. I'm always in the Spanish service. So if you came here tonight, I'm sorry. You got to come back and listen Pastor Ray speak. Okay? So just just come back and listen Pastor Ray speak. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians. To the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in chapter 5. I rely a lot on my notes, because most of the Bible that I memorize, it's in Spanish, so I don't know if you understand it. So that's why I rely a lot on my notes. So forgive me if I mispronounce a word, or I say something maybe that's you don't understand, but that just I ask, be patient with me, okay, and we'll get there tonight. So it's always a blessing when we hear God's word being preached. So Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll read one verse, verse 18. We'll pray, and then we'll be seated. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 reads like this: "And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I will read it again. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, asking you, Lord, to do something in our hearts, Lord. We come to your house. We come to church, Lord, seeking your presence, seeking to get something out of the message, seeking to get something out of the songs, the fellowship, Lord. And we just ask you for our daily bread, Lord, that you have for us. Give us your blessing. Help us understand what's going to be said, Lord, especially because I'm saying it. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to speak to everyone in here. And help me not to say what I don't need to say, and just help me say whatever you wish me to say, Lord, to be a blessing upon everyone that's listening, whether it be here in house or whether it be at home through the internet, Lord. Just make this a blessing for everyone that's listening, Lord. You are the one that we came to hear about, listen to, and to God be the glory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You might be seated, please. I'd like to start off with an illustration of a young couple that had humble beginnings. We're talking about a young couple that was raised in the country. that came to live to the city. And as they were getting established, they noticed that the city life was a bit different than the country life. Amen? They realized that, first of all, they couldn't raise any more animals, and that there was no longer the need to have a horse for transportation. Since everyone in the city had a car for the means of going places. So one day they decided to get a car. They started to save money as they were able. Sometimes they would have setbacks because of unexpected bills that came their way. But eventually they were able to buy a car. And one day they got all dressed up. They got ready. They took the keys, got inside the car, and sat inside the car. And they would find themselves doing this often until they started feeling frustrated with the car because the car wasn't going anywhere. The thing they hadn't realized is that you have to put the key in the ignition and turn the key to make the car run. Amen? The same thing can happen to us in our Christian life. Sometimes we begin to wonder of why of the things that happen to us and begin to ask why. If I'm going to church, why is this happening to me? This car is not taking me anywhere. Why are we going to church if our marriage remains the same or works or worse? We tell our spouse, you treat me the same as always, and I treat you the same. It is the same words. It is the same conflicts. I don't know if this car is taking us anywhere. Amen. Today, all of us, we all have a great tool at our disposal called the vehicle of the Christian life. Amen. But a lot of us have never moved it. Sometimes we only get on the vehicle, maybe because it's Sunday, maybe because so people don't tell us that we are doing something wrong. And that could happen to us, you know. Sometimes we live the life as a Christian and we feel that we're not going anywhere. We kind of stuck in the same place and we start to get frustrated. We start to get annoyed with the things that are happening, you know, because we see that this, you know, we see, well, it's working for them. And we're coming to church the same amount that they come to church and look where they are now and look at us where we are now. So we start asking questions and getting frustrated maybe, you know. But sometimes that happens to us. One of the things that Christ promised before ascending to heaven, John 14:16, you don't have to turn there. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You may be asking yourself this question, so who has the comforter? The Holy Spirit. Some may say, because I don't have it, because if I had it, I would have already changed. But the fact is that every believer in Christ Jesus who has trusted him for his personal salvation has the Holy Spirit living within him. The Bible says in Romans, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That is the promise of Christ. God comes and dwells within you the moment you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Somebody came to me and they asked me, brother, do you think I'm saved? Do you think I'm going to heaven? And I told them, I said, sister, if you don't know, I have no idea. In which I had to lead them to Christ. Today, we have a great privilege that a lot of the people in the Bible only long to have. This is that God lives within us through the person of the Holy Spirit. When we read the Gospels and the book of Acts, Jesus' disciples were all waiting in the upper room for the promise of the Father. They were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. You and I don't have to wait any longer. Because the moment we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. It's inside of you. It's now part of your nature if you're a child of God. We don't no longer have to wait for him. Rather, he's waiting for us. Sometimes we make the mistake when we come to church with a different attitude, waiting for the day that God is going to come and change us. But reality is that God is waiting for us to come to him. You know? When we go out soul winning, I often tell people that unless we ask God to come into our heart, he's not going to come in if we don't invite him. You have to ask. You have to seek. You have to look for it. You know? Sometimes we think I'm waiting on God to change my spouse, but truth be told, God is waiting for us to bend the knee and start praying for them. You know, activate, turn that key that runs the car. Some are waiting for God to come and make a change in their life, but you don't have to wait no more. God already came in the person of Christ Jesus more than 2,000 years ago, and he already did his part, and he even said, "It is finished," and he's waiting for us to do our part. Okay? We have the key to be able to start the vehicle of the Christian life and get to where God wants us to go. We don't have to be frustrated. We don't have to think and just ponder why is this Christian life not taking me anywhere. We have the key to make that work. Amen. We have the means for it. Because if God commanded it, he gave us the ability to do it. The problem is that not that if we have the Holy Spirit, the problem is that the Holy Spirit doesn't have everyone here in this room. And I'm talking about surrender and willingness. Surrender and willingness. It's not about how much of God you have in you, because you have all of God in the person of the Holy Spirit when you get saved and when you become a child of God. You have all of God in you. He lives within you. The issue here is how much does God have of you? How much of you have, or how much have you surrendered to him for him to take you where you need to go? There's a couple of things that the Bible teaches us in this passage. We read in Ephesians 5:18, and I'll go a verse before. It says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." He's talking about this is God's will. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There's two things that we can learn on this about this verse. The be filled, when we're talking about being filled, has the connotation of something that is constant. When we read the story of the children of Israel wandering in the desert, we see every day God gave them a portion of the manna. There was no shortages. There was no excess. It was just what they needed to survive for that day. You know? Many of us today have lost the freshness of living the Christian life because we have not gone out to collect our share. See, guys, God gives you exactly what you need for the day. He gives you exactly what you require for the day. But you need to go get it. You need to come and look for it. As the children of Israel, every morning they went out and just pick up the portion. And they, you know, none of them were lacking. But there was no excess for the next day. The portion of yesterday, that was gone the next day. You have to get up in the morning early and get your portion for the day.
Amen.
The Bible reads in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is talking about continuous experience that comes from within and not just a temporal feeling or an external thing. Amen. That's what it's talking about. So how do we maintain the freshness of the Christian life? How do we stop feeling that the car of the Christian life is not taking us nowhere? How do we do that? I learned this from Pastor. So, it's a couple of ingredients. Got a little bit of milk. We grew up drinking chocolate milk, powdered chocolate milk. In Spanish, we call it chocomil. Okay. See, have a little bit of chocolate powder here. So the milk is going to represent the flesh. The chocolate powder is going to represent the Holy Spirit. Okay? At first, the Holy Spirit is on top of the flesh and visible in our life. You know, when we get saved, we see changes. And you know, for most of us, most of the biggest changes we see is close to when we get saved. You know? But that shouldn't stop there. That should be the beginning of a changed life. That should be the beginning of great things with God. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up, but the first time I ever heard a Bible verse or somebody read the Bible to me, I was, I think, 18, 19 years old. I would often ask my mom, I remember as a child, Mom, I said, what happens when you die? And my mom, being a devout Catholic, she would tell me, well, son, if you're good in life, you know, and you die, well, God might let you in heaven. But if your bad deeds, you know, are more than your good deeds, then she's like, I don't know. I knew then I wasn't going to heaven as a child, you know. But when we come to know the Lord and when we get saved, we start seeing that the Holy Spirit is on top of all over the flesh, because we start seeing great changes. And the biggest changes we see at the beginning, you know. But then for some reason, we start letting that freshness disappear. Okay? We start ending the newness of this thing of called the Christian life. This is why when someone comes into our lives, the only thing they can taste is milk. They never get a taste of the chocolate. You know what I'm saying? Amen. There's some people around our lives that only see the milk. That we only show them what we're made of. But they never get to taste the chocolate. They never get to taste what we're really made of if we are children of God. You know? Sometimes people look at us, or we look at each other, you know? And sometimes we realize, you know what? My life tastes just like milk. There is no flavor in it. And there's a reason for that. You know? Frustration comes out, but you know what we got to do? This is when we start turning that key. Amen. This is when we start putting that key in the ignition and turning on that key to make that vehicle of the Christian life takes us where we need to go. All of a sudden, you start seeing that the flesh is starting to disappear. Why? Because people are seeing different things in you. People are noticing changes in your life that before they weren't able to see. The milk starts to dissipate, and the chocolate starts giving flavor to your life. The frustration comes out when we sometimes realize just coming to church doesn't change. You know? The fact that we are here today does not change what we're going to watch on TV this week. It doesn't change what we're going to drink. The places we are going to go, it doesn't change. Just the fact that we're here. It's only until we start steering, okay, our life, we start using that key on the ignition, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, we start making that milk disappear. Have you stirred your cup today, brother, sister? Have you been feeding your family milk only? Or can they taste the chocolate flavor in your life? The word "be not drunk," as we read in Ephesians 5:18, has to do with being under the effects of something that controls our mental, emotional, and physical state. You know, when we see people under the influence, that's what they call it, under the influence, you see people, they're first of all, they're not thinking correctly. They're not acting correctly. Their ability to behave is not there. Why? Because they're under the influence. Under the influence. And that's pretty much what the connotation is when God tells us right there in chapter 5, and be not drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, this, he's talking about a constant state. It's not like one time you pour the chocolate powder in there and you just leave it there. No, you constantly have to stir that thing. You have to keep it going. You have to keep it going. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself that the milk, eventually, that the chocolate milk is going to sit at the bottom and the milk is going to show its color again. God is faithful to give us what we need. If he has commanded us to do something, he will provide. You know? The word "be not drunk," okay? When he's telling us be not drunk, but be filled with the Spirit, it has to do, okay, with three things. First of all, it must control our mind. It must control our mind. You ever see people that are under the influence, the way they think, they rationalize things, the way they process thoughts? Well, that's basically the same idea, but the opposite. God wants us for our mind to be controlled by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our mind. We have to stop thinking the way we think. You know, so a lot of the problems we have in our lives is because we still think the same way. We still have the same thought process. And God is telling us here, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be renewed as we grow in Christ. Our mind has to be growing as well. Our thoughts have to be renewed constantly. Because as your thoughts are, so are you. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. See, That what it's talking about, it must control our mind. You don't have to settle for what this world has to give you. Everybody wants to think the same way. Well, you know, we have to do this. Why? Because they're doing it. We have to go here. Why? Because they're going there. We have to buy these things. Why? Because they're buying it. No, you don't have to do that. If you renew your mind, if you start growing in the Lord and you renew your mind and the thoughts of Christ are in your life, you start thinking different, you start processing your thoughts in a different manner, you start looking at things in a different way, and that's when people start looking at you funny. You know? That's when people start realizing, well, wait a minute. They start seeing the chocolate in your life. We must come to church with a different mindset. You know, like I said, the fact that we're here is not going to change anything. It's what we think that we're going to do. Sometimes we come to church, but it's only on the outside. Sometimes we carry a Bible, but it's only on the outside. Sometimes we say, I'm a Christian, but all this is only on the outside. We have to renew our mind. We have to start thinking the way God thinks. We have to start seeing the things the way God sees things. We have to start seeing sin as the way he sees it. We have to start seeing life as God sees it. You know, I often tell the folks in the Spanish service, you know, this life, you know, we all have the ability to make a lot of money if we want to. But if you start thinking about what God speaks through his word, you're going to realize something. The only thing that you are going to enjoy eternally is whatever you do here for the glory of God. Everything else that we do here, I know we all have to work. I know we all have to pay bills. We have to make money, you know, to survive and all that. And that's part of life. And, you know, thanks to Adam. When we get to heaven, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a line of men wanting to talk to Adam and just ask him, why? Why? But it's part of life. We have to do it. But the reality is, that the things that we are going to enjoy, the things we are going to live through, the things that are going to live through eternity, is those things that here on earth we do for the glory of God. And that's the only thing. You know, this is not in my message, but I was speaking to someone about when my brother passed away. He had some stuff, you know, homes and properties and stuff like that, and all of his life he worked a lot and stuff like that, and at the end when he passed away, all of that stuff, we don't even know where it is. And what I'm trying to say is, you know, once we leave this earth, the only thing that's going to count is how much of you surrender to him. It must control our mind. It must control our speech. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. But see, the only way our speech can be controlled is if we first renew our mind, right? Amen. Then our speech starts changing. We start speaking different things. We start speaking things from above, not from this earth. So if it starts controlling our mind, it starts controlling our speech, and eventually it must control our actions. Romans 8:9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." So what is God telling us here? Well, you gotta get filled your whole life. Because if you just leave the chocolate on top, don't mix it, don't use it, don't look for it, it's never gonna affect your mind, it's never gonna affect your speech, it's never gonna affect your actions. See? Sometimes we probably do like the couple. We come to church thinking this is going to take us somewhere. But we haven't put the key in the ignition. We haven't started the car. We haven't given God surrender. It's good that you're here. It's great. I would not be anywhere else other than the house of God when church is open. But you got to put your heart into it. You got to put your mind into it. You got to put your desire into it. How do I get the Holy Spirit in my life? Someone might ask. It's not about getting it because we already have it. It's about not getting in the way of Him working through us. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit is a person who can be saddened by the way we live. The Apostle Paul has already explained that the Holy Spirit's power within us gives us new life. While we continue to battle with our sinful nature, which we should be living for Christ each day. To refuse to do so, to constantly give in to lying, anger, stealing, is to bring him sorrow. And that when Paul says grieve not, that's what he's talking about. We bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit because we get in the way of him trying to work through us. Ephesians 4:31, the next verse says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," that's yelling, "and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice." So see, he's talking about removing some stuff out of the way, moving stuff out of the way so the Holy Spirit can have an effect on your life. A lot of us, you know, have good intentions. But good intentions sometimes, you know, have to be followed by some actions. We have to remove some things that are hindering the Spirit of God to work through us. We must not allow any sin to go unconfessed. Right? The problem is that we live a life very comfortable with sin in our lives. And you know what? You know what makes it easy? Because everybody does it. Everybody does it. And when you try to please God, you kind of feel this. It's strange because you feel like this spotlight is upon you. And then everybody's looking at you like, what are you doing? You know? What are you doing? And then you probably get, you feel the spotlight on you and you start, your thoughts are running and but we must not allow any sin to go unconfessed in our life. We don't have to live comfortable around sin. And that's the problem. Sometimes it doesn't bother us. It makes it easy for us sometimes because we think that God allows us to live a certain way. And then we think, well, God understands. You know, I have someone once told me, You know, I brought him to church a few times, and he came to church, and he got saved and all this. But I kept talking to him about the need of, you know, being in church, you know, living in grace and stuff like this. And this is what he told me. He's like, you know, God and I have an understanding. And when he told me that, I knew where he was going. You know, because I know the way he lives and all that, but sometimes we do the same. I have an understanding with God. Why? Because he lets me live the way I. If God wanted me to change, he would have already done something to me. Well, I tell you what, man, the grace of God must be upon your life, because, you know, we don't want justice, we want grace. You know?
Yes, sir.
We want grace. Let's recognize that which grieves the Spirit of God. Let's not cover it up. Let's face it. Let's be honest. Let's see the sin as God sees it. Is my record clean today with God? Is your record clean today with God? You know? Or do I have sin in my life that I have not confessed? That can be a big part of why we hinder the Spirit of God in our life. And that's why that car is not cranking and it's not moving until we confess that sin. You know? First Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. That's talking about not hindering or limiting. But the key word here is surrender. Saying yes to God. Total willingness to his will. Whatever, whenever, whatever, Lord. Whatever, whenever, whatever. Amen? How do we limit or hinder the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible says in Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Basically saying, by the harden of your heart. Because when God speaks to you, when God speaks to me, and we refuse to change, and we refuse to allow the word of God in our lives to make a change, that's when we limit the Holy Spirit. That's when we hinder the Holy Spirit. We harden our heart. You know? If we hear during the message sin being a specific sin, you know, I'm pretty sure we can think of someone, but we don't think of ourselves, right? We don't think of ourselves because we're good at it. I'm good at it. I mean, I know I only do it. I know you don't do it. You're very spiritual. When we come to church and we hear the word of God and we say, that's not for me. You know what the Bible says? Paul says right there in 1 Thessalonians, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who had also given unto us his Holy Spirit. See, you're not rejecting who's speaking right here. You're rejecting the word, the counsel of the Lord. When we resist the truth, we are not using the key to start that vehicle. We haven't opened or turned on the switch so we can move that car of the Christian life. And lastly, Galatians 5:16 says this. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's talking about live constantly, doing it constantly. You have to keep steering. You have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. Maybe you have to do it a couple of times a day. Maybe you have to do it in the morning. Maybe you have to do it before your wife gets up. Amen? But when it says, This I say, walk in the Spirit, is talking about doing it constantly. Constantly. In the most basic sense, to walk in the Spirit means to live a life that depends on the Spirit's power to grow in godliness, to obey God's commands, and to increase your walk with God. So I don't know about you today, brother, sister, but I find myself the need of always steering this thing.